Welcome to the chat here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. My name is Linda Sims. This program is live. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download a free app called TuneIn and search on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH and take advantage of the many talk radio shows we have to offer you. You also have another option. You can call 740-383-9944 if you're interested in being a part of this live program today. You can call that number for any questions you may have or if you're interested in making any comments. My guest today is Mayor Schertzer. He is the mayor of our lovely city, Marion, Ohio. And before I turn my attention to him, that way you can get your questions ready and your comments ready. Remember, the number is 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support the chat, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Also, Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.LogosChristianMinistries.com. Also, we have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company working for you with 25 years of experience. Their telephone number is 740-262-0939, and their location is LaRue, Ohio. I always like to start my show off with a thought for today, and it's titled, Happy Ending. Everyone has a happy ending. If you are not happy, it's not the end. Isn't that a good word for today? You still have time to be happy, right? Amen. Okay. Like I said, Scott Schertzer, Mayor Scott Schertzer is my guest. I need to introduce my panelists. Dacia Wade, how are you today, Dacia?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. And Jamila Harris, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
All right. And now it's time to introduce you to Mayor Scott Schertzer. And how are you today?
I'm doing just fine. I'm happy. Thank you.
We're great. You look happy. You look good.
The weather's not the greatest today, but boy, I'm telling you what. Yesterday, the weather was perfect.
Wasn't it beautiful?
It was a great sunny day. Get out and do something outside. I hope everybody had a chance to do that. But yeah, it's been a really nice fall so far.
So far.
You know, keep your fingers crossed, and hopefully the rest of the fall will be like we've had, and it will not be a really snowy winter. We don't like snow, do we?
No.
Everybody's shaking their heads, no snow.
And I hear Almanac says we're going to have a bad one.
You know, you hear that from time to time. I don't think it's out of all of our hands, isn't it?
Yes.
So we'll take whatever comes to us. This is the time of the year where we actually get ready and start thinking about the winter months. We do staff meeting every other week, and Scott Kurz, who is our street superintendent, he's already making sure that we have enough salt in the salt shed and making sure the snow plows are in working order and getting it ready to go. So when we get that first snow or ice event, we can, you know, slap on those snow plows and get to work. But we're also, this time of year, this is when we pick up the leaves, and we actually started leaf collection today.
Really?
So you can start raking your leaves to the tree lawn. Please do not put them in the curb or in the gutter, because the gutter is what we use to get rainwater away from your house. It's funny, but people still want to rake them into the gutter, and it clogs up the catch basins, and then the street floods, and then somebody's basement floods, and they're like, I don't understand why, and it's like, well, there's all these leaves out here. So we'll start off with one leaf crew this week. I don't really see a lot of leaves raked to the curb yet.
Right.
If you don't want to wait on our crew, because we just kind of do that counterclockwise or clockwise throughout the city, mm-hmm. when they really start falling, and they're kind of starting to do that now, we'll send 3 trucks out with the big vacuums on them to vacuum them up. I know a lot of people will do their raking on the weekend,
right.
then they'll expect us to be there on Monday. Whenever you see the truck in your neighborhood, you know we're getting closer to your house.
Right.
It's not an on-demand service where you can rake your leaves on Sunday and call us and we come pick them up on Monday, because we may be working in another part of the city at that point in time. But we'll generally go until about the first week of December. I think December 6th is our normal cutoff.
Okay.
But we like to keep at least one truck operational through December, because we know that there's always somebody out there who rakes their yard late. So we will come get them. But you might have to give us a call after December the 6th. So for the rest of this month, all of November, mm-hmm. and then that first week of December, we're going to be out. So what is that? That's about 6 or 7 weeks, mm-hmm. if you will,
yeah. mm-hmm.
somewhere
yeah.
in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Yes.
So and generally, most people can get them to the curb by then. The thing about leaves is we never know when they're going to fall.
We
know they're going to fall sometime
right.
during this time of year. But we had a late leaf drop a couple years ago. We were picking up leaves. We were getting the first snow in mid to late December. And it was just a really late leaf drop. And everybody's like, well, why don't you just get out there and do it when they drop? Well, we don't know when they're going to drop for sure. So, but that's going on this week. Starts today. And like I said, we'll continue to do that for the next 6 or 7 weeks until December the 6th. And then hopefully, knock on wood, we won't have any snow and ice until the first of the year. And hopefully it'll be a quick winter and we'll get to spring again.
Yes,
so.
Yes. You hear me knocking on wood.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yep.
Keep the ice away. But you're right. Leaves aren't falling too fast.
No.
Not even this year. Mm-mm. So it may be another late leaf fall.
We'll see what happens. We have a truck ready to go, so just so your listeners know.
And it's like, don't panic.
Don't panic.
Don't panic.
Mm-mm.
They're going to make it to your street. Thank you for that, Ms. Mm-hmm. Scherzer. So we all know that it's election year.
Is it?
Yes, and you're back
oh my
on
goodness.
The ballot, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. good. I didn't think that you were going to run to be reelected, but I think it's a good thing. And I know people want to know, what does Scott Scherzer have to offer the city of Marion different than what we've had before?
Mm-hmm. So,
like
you know, here's what's been happening. In my first couple years in office, we were in the middle of a national economic recession.
Mm-hmm.
And we were fighting, like most local governments, just to keep our head above the waterline. In the past 3 years, we've had an opportunity to really do some things differently than we've done in the past, because, you know, the unemployment rate in Marion County right now is at a 50-year low.
Oh,
so that is very good when the unemployment rate is so low. There are so many jobs available out there. I was on Facebook the other night. I don't know if you're all Facebookers or not. I'm relatively new to it, and it's a challenge, social media, for me. I don't know about your listeners, but somebody was looking for a job, and they didn't know where to go and find a job. Well,
okay.
There are help wanted signs everywhere,
yes,
okay?
That's true.
But the normal place would be what we used to refer to as Job and Family Services, which they call Ohio Means Jobs now.
Mm-hmm.
You can look that up online and find the phone number. But they're very helpful to Marion County residents in finding a job that they're interested in and qualified for. I know in City Hall, the mayor's office, for a number of years now, we've posted all the available jobs on a bulletin board right across from the elevator. And that job posting actually comes from Ohio Means Jobs.
Okay.
So they're both the same postings. And I often talk about jobs that are available within city government. We had some openings. I didn't bring the list with me, but we were accepting applications for police officers. I think that's closed now. We're currently accepting applications for firefighters. Okay. We can talk a little bit more about the grant that we got for the Marion City Fire Department. We're always looking for bus drivers, but when it comes to bus drivers, we really look for somebody who has their commercial driver's license.
Okay.
Not all of our buses require it, a commercial driver's license, but you don't know if you're going to get one of those buses where you need a commercial driver's license. We refer to them as CDLs, obviously.
You mean our city buses?
City buses, okay. Yes. And so we're always looking for drivers for the Marion City Transit, the MAP buses, and we were accepting applications down at the Central Garage. I know we had some positions down there. And even in the Central Garage, you have to have a commercial driver's license because you may be jumping in a snowplow at some point this winter, and you are required to have that commercial driver's license. Now, with all that being said about CDLs, if you're working on getting your CDL, you still may be qualified for the position because we can help you get the final driver's license for commercial use. We at least need you to be taking the classes and in the process of getting your commercial driver's license.
That's wonderful.
So when we talk about jobs and the unemployment rate, that's always really good because the city of Marion actually derives its revenue from a 2% earned income. So the more people working, the more revenue that we have coming into city government. It's different for the county because they rely on a sales tax. So every time you go buy something at a store in Marion, a percentage of that sales tax goes to the county. And property taxes are generally for the school districts and things like MRDD and children's services, and maybe sometimes there's a park levy or a fire levy. Those all deal with property taxes. So it's important you know everybody pays taxes in some way, shape, or form, but it's important for you to know as an informed citizen, where do my tax dollars go? Every time you go to the pump, every time you go to the pump and get gas, you're paying a tax on that. Most of that goes to the state to maintain the roads in the state of Ohio, but some of that comes back to the local governments. For example, this summer on, I think it was July 1st, gasoline tax went up across the state of Ohio. And a portion of that will come back to the local governments. That means the county government gets some of it, the city government, and even the township governments.
Okay.
And I know for the city that we anticipate somewhere in the neighborhood of about $650,000 extra dollars will be coming to the city, but that can only be used to maintain the city streets. And you know, right now we're in the process of resurfacing our city streets. Some
always.
Of them have been, you know, every year, every
not
year.
Yes.
And you know, that's one of the things in government that will never end, because we look at the age of the street, the condition of the street, what is the traffic volume on a street. And so we, with our street department and our city engineer, they make up a list every year. Normally, we spend about $750,000. This year, we're spending somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.3 million. And again, with that new gasoline tax imposed on all the drivers in Ohio, by the state of Ohio, we know that that budget will go up even higher next year because that money, again, can only be spent on the maintenance and care of our city streets.
Okay, so does that mean our gas is going to be, price of gas is going to go up also?
It already has. It already has. That tax by the state legislature went into effect in July of this year. So you're already paying a higher tax on your gasoline when you go to the pump.
True. I understand that. So how does your wife and your daughters feel about you running for mayor again?
Well, you know, my children have never known their father not to be in elective office. I started off on city council right before they were born. And then mayor pretty much, you know, that whole time. So, you know, they're, obviously they're excited. You know, but you know, kids are kids. You want them to be kids. You want them to do things that kids do. Mm-hmm. They're a junior and senior in high school,
oh,
so
my,
they're yeah. You know, they're doing their thing, whether it's sports or other activities. You know, they're thinking about college. Where do I want to go? What do I want to major in? Things like that. So they're not maybe as tuned into, you know, dad's campaign or dad's job as mayor as much as people might think.
Right.
But, you know, you asked me at the beginning of the segment here, what can we expect different? I just think that, you know, when you look at what's going on right now, fiscal responsibility is crucial in these jobs. If you're not fiscally responsible with the taxpayer money, then you can't do anything, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Rebuilding our safety forces is always a priority. We haven't been able to rebuild our safety forces from the recession that we had. Now, some people would say, well, that recession's been over for 5 years. Well, that may be true nationally, but local governments, like the city of Marion government, were always last to feel the effect of a recovery. So we lag a couple years behind.
We get like hand-me-downs, right?
Yeah, well, not hand-me-downs, but we just lag behind because
right.
of the yes. And so rebuilding our safety forces has been a focal point. We just applied for and were awarded a federal grant called a SAFER grant for our fire department.
Okay.
So we'll be hiring 6 new firefighters out of this grant. We will not be able to bring on those firefighters until March 2nd of 2020. But in the meantime, that's why I said that we're taking applications.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a physical agility test for firefighters. And then they had to take a civil service test. Mm-hmm. All police and fire have to take a civil service test. And then they'll be kind of graded. And we'll take those applicants and based on their civil service test, based on their qualifications, based on their physical agility,
right.
they'll get ranked number 1 through number 50 if we have 50 applicants. And then they'll start interviewing the first person on the list based on what I just mentioned, and they'll bring them in for an interview. And if that person is somebody that they think that they would be a good fit and have
right.
the qualifications, they'll make a contingency offer to that person, and they'll do that until all 6 firefighter positions are filled, but knowing that they cannot start until March the 2nd of 2020. So this is a process that we're starting now, but they might not start the interviews until January. They might not make a decision until February,
mm-hmm.
because after the offers are made, we go through a background check. We do a criminal background check for all police and fire. In fact, we do that for most of our city employee
yes.
positions. And if they come back with a clean background and they accept the contingency offer, then they can start. And the mayor usually swears them in. And we have a little ceremony in the mayor's office where we swear in all firefighters and police officers. And we'll have 6 new firefighters. But at the same time, we have firefighters that are retiring. So we could have additional new hires in the fire department beyond the 6 that we have that grant for,
mm-hmm.
because we have to replace the retiring firefighters.
Right, right.
So out of that list of, I think they told me they had close to 40 or 50 applicants, we may make multiple offers on that list over the next few months.
Is it mostly people in our area or out of town?
I don't know the question
okay.
or the answer to that question, because I don't look at the applications.
Right.
Our HR clerk, she screens them,
mm-hmm.
makes sure they have the qualifications, they get passed on to the fire chief, and then he has a team that screens them again.
Mm-hmm.
It is very helpful when you apply for a job like that, that you come to the table with the qualifications.
That's true.
We look for paramedic qualified firefighters. We look for folks that already have what they call their fire card, so they've already gone off to fire school, so to speak. And so if you have those qualifications, you're going to rank higher on that list of 40 or 50 applicants that we have. Okay. So there's a good chance that you're going to get at least an interview. In that process. So even if you have military background, that gets you ranked higher on that list that I spoke of. So that's kind of the process that we go through when it comes to hiring firefighters. Six for sure, but we know it's going to be more than six because we're going to fill those retirement vacancies that will be coming up in between now and in March of next year.
Okay. Any questions, panel? You didn't come with any questions for the mayor?
We even take females. I mean, you know, we don't currently have any female firefighters. We did have one, and she came to work for the City of Marion Fire Department. She worked for us for a while, and then she took a position, I think, closer to home, which I'm going to say was closer to Columbus. I don't know exactly where, but we have had females on our fire department staff, but we really don't see a lot of females applying for those positions. Now, on the police department, on the other hand, we have more women in the city police department than I think we've ever had before. So
I see a lot driving cars.
Mm-hmm. So, yep, you will. Yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
So in addition to rebuilding our safety forces, you know, my administration, one of its focal points is job creation and job retention. Mm-hmm. When the economy is good, businesses are out looking to expand locally. They're looking to expand into other communities. So we're working with businesses all the time that are looking at expansions. I'm probably dealing with three or four different companies right now that are either looking to expand or looking at coming to the Marion community. Okay. Most of that is done through CANDO. CANDO is our economic development organization. It's a city-county organization. So the city and the county both help fund CANDO, but they also do private donor fundraising for the organization also. Gus Comstock would be a good guest to have on. He's the executive director of CANDO, and he could speak to you in more detail about the process that he goes through when it comes to recruiting businesses to come to Marion, and how he works with existing businesses that are looking at a potential expansion. For example, I know last year, I forget how many hundreds of millions of dollars were invested by local businesses in expansion projects. Nucor Steel went through an expansion. Poet Biorefinery went through an expansion. And that's where that money is invested in those businesses, by those businesses, to expand their footprints. And those expansions generally always come with new job creation.
Right.
So that means additional jobs for the community. And that's why CANDO works with businesses who are looking to expand also. In addition to all those things, you probably have noticed all the activity taking place downtown. There's quite a boom downtown. Yeah, so
faced and
Yep. There are a couple building owners downtown that have really put a lot of TLC into their buildings.
Right.
In fact, we're getting ready to apply for $250,000 grants to help some of the downtown building owners. These are federal grants. They're competitive grants, so there's no guarantee we're going to get it, but we feel pretty good about our chances of applying for those grants to help some of these downtown building owners to refurbish and give a kind of a facelift to downtown. And if you notice downtown on Main Street, we've had to block off the sidewalks in two different locations. Now, when was the last time you've ever seen that?
I can't remember.
It's been a while, right?
Yes,
so
it has.
Right up here on the corner where the old cigar store is, that's now owned by Center Street Community Clinic. And they're going to be putting a small grocery store in there, and they're totally going to redo the old cigar store along with two buildings to the south of them on Main Street. It will be nice. Last time I talked to them, when they showed me the I guess the blueprints or the artist drawing of it. They hope to have that open by the spring of this year. Now, we'll see what happens, but that's a lot of work. And then you have right beside Bari's restaurant, you have the Brickyard, which is being done by Luke Henry and Alex Sheridan. And they own about 6 buildings downtown on Main Street that they're doing work on, and they're renovating, and they're bringing in new businesses in those 6 buildings, there's 6 storefronts maybe. So you're going to see a lot of new stores downtown. We're still waiting on Amato's restaurant just across the street from where we're talking right now. They delivered the brewing equipment here a couple weeks back for the micro brew that's going to go in there. North High Brewing has their equipment in there. Mm-hmm. And then Amato's Pizza out of Delaware will be selling stone-fired pizza out of the same venue. So okay. Now, when are they going to open? I wish I could tell your listeners when. I do not know. I have no control over grand opening dates. Right. I just watch the progress. And as the mayor, if there's anything that I can do to help them out, for example, like applying for these downtown grants or helping them with anything else, that's my job to assist and make sure that the environment and the climate is right for economic development in downtown Marion. But as all these new businesses begin to open up, one of the things that we're looking at doing on Main Street from center to church is making it more pedestrian friendly in there and making it more easy to get around. So we want to redo the infrastructure, which would be curbs, gutters, sidewalks, street lighting, maybe put a planter down the middle of Main Street in between church and center. And because our sidewalks really aren't wide enough for outside dining. And that is really helpful to downtown restaurants when you can have outside dining. And we have to follow federal regulations when it comes to that. That's the ADA compliance, or the Americans with Disability Act. You have to have 5 foot of unobstructed walkway. And we need to make sure that we continue to have 5 feet of unobstructed walkway for those that are handicapped and need that downtown on a city sidewalk. But if we bump those sidewalks out another 5 foot, not only does that mean more room for outside dining, but it means we stay compliant with ADA and the federal regulations. So we're looking at doing something like that and making that section of Main Street more pedestrian friendly.
What about parking?
Well,
a parking garage?
Not a parking garage. I think the millions of dollars it would take to build a parking garage is well beyond the budget right now. But just the investment in the infrastructure alone on that block of Main Street is about $1 million.
Okay.
So we're taking a look at some of the funding sources that the city has available to it to make sure that we can do this kind of an infrastructure improvement on South Main Street, south of Center. Yeah, and it may take a couple of years. So this isn't something that's going to happen overnight.
Right.
We have to have the funding in place. You have to have an engineer. You got to do the engineering on it. You got to draw the plans. You know, there are things that most of us don't think about, like catch basins, you know, for the rainwater.
Sure.
We're going to have to extend the catch basins out into the street and make sure that it's engineered properly to remove the water, rainwater in this case, off of Main Street. So a lot of things in place, but the City Public Works Director, myself, my staff, this is something that we want to do. We're working with Downtown Marion, Inc. Downtown Marion, Inc. is one of the most active boards that I serve on as mayor, and they really do a lot of good things for downtown and promoting downtown. I just had a guest editorial in the Marion Star yesterday about the great things happening in downtown. So a lot of good things happening. We're seeing a lot of progress being made all over the city, and we haven't even touched on the county land bank yet. So.
Yeah, talk to us about the land bank. I know a lot of people are interested
mm-hmm.
in possibly buying a home.
I was just getting ready to say something about
it. Well, go ahead
home.
And finish that. You finish my thought, since you're talking about homes.
Well, I wasn't going to finish her thought, but I was going to
do your thought.
Ask what is going to go on with the housing? Like, because the housing is getting worse and worse and worse, and the houses are falling down, the neighborhoods are going bad. It's hard to find a decent place to even rent anymore. So I was just wondering what's going to happen with the housing.
So, you know, the city really doesn't control the rental properties, and that's long been a topic of discussion by some council members and some in city government, that maybe we should do a registration for all the rental properties. I sometimes think that that's a little bit intrusive of local government to do something like that. It's not something that we really regulate. Since I've been in office, we've torn down 300 homes. And the county land bank is the mechanism to tear down those homes now. The county land bank was created about 4 years ago. The city used to have their own land bank where we got a $1.1 million grant from the federal government. And then I think it was a $750,000 grant. And we use that grant money. That's for countywide, by the way, not just in the city.
Okay.
But the city had its own land bank. And then the state legislature changed the laws, basically rendering city land banks useless. And so they wanted counties to create the land bank. And at the time, Marion County did not have one.
Right.
But the county commissioners created the land bank. And so the county land bank is where we deal with most of the housing issues today. Whether it be tearing down or fixing up or getting them in the hands of somebody who can fix them up. So there's a number of different things the county land bank does, but primarily the grant money, which is almost out now because they got a $850,000 grant about 3 years ago, that's going to be gone by this year. So now we're looking at how do we continue to fund the county land bank because it has done such good things. But as I said, since I've been in office with the varying grants that I've just mentioned, we have torn down 300 homes. And the county auditor has estimated that there are at least 450 more that probably should come down. Now, I know the article in the Marion Star yesterday said 2,000. I don't know where that number came from. So we relied on the statistics and some of the information that Joanne Kasotis's office at the county auditor has accumulated. And that's what we're using in the county land bank as our basis for properties that the county land bank should be focusing its attention on. By the way, the county land bank is made up of a 5-member board per the state code, 2 county commissioners, the county treasurer, the township trustee from the largest township, which would be Marion, and the mayor of the largest city, which obviously would be me in that case. So that's the 5-member board. Now, they can expand that board, but only the 2 county commissioners that sit on the county land bank board have the authority to increase the board number, which I, as mayor, have been a proponent of, but don't have the ability to do. So out of the 88 counties, I think there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 55 of them have land banks. So the land banks, that is all we really use right now when it comes to the housing stock in our community, because that's where the grants come. There's a bill in the state legislature right now. I think it's House Bill 252, and it has $50 million attached to it. If that bill becomes law, then that $50 million will be distributed to the 55 county land banks. So our land bank would qualify. For how much? That's the question we don't know yet. We don't know the formula for how they'll decide how much each county land bank gets. Because, for example, Cuyahoga County, which is Cleveland, they have a land bank, but there's a lot more people that live there. Franklin County and Columbus has a land bank, more people, so they're going to get more money. We just need to make sure that we get what we have owed coming to us if this bill passes. Now, it may be some time before this bill passes, but right now that is the only funding being made available from the state or the federal government that we're aware of on the county land bank. The county land bank here in Marion County does consistently get anywhere between $150,000 to $250,000, but that's not enough. We need much more to do to have an impact. And we would work on the properties identified by the county auditor's office. Now, the county auditor's office has identified mostly residential, some commercial, and even some industrial properties.
Right.
In the past, we've only been able to use our grants for residential properties. This $50 million in the state legislature right now, we believe it can be used for commercial and industrial both.
Okay.
But until that bill passes, we really don't know what the parameters of that bill are actually going to be. So we have to wait and see when it passes.
So does the land bank, does it have any type of program that helps people buy some of those homes that
In rare occasions, it does. In fact, in the last county land bank earlier this month, it has a house in its possession,
mm-hmm.
and the county land bank gets these properties. The property has to be behind in taxes and nobody living in it. That's two big qualifiers right there.
Mm-hmm.
The county prosecutor does a tax foreclosure, and then the county land bank will hold the title of that property. And then it has the ability to dispose of those properties depending upon what money was used to bring that into the county's land bank.
Okay.
The house that I'm talking about, the county land bank is looking at, you know, basically selling that property off to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that those parcels, if they have a house on them, can go for below market value. Now, the city land bank has had parcels. A parcel is just a lot with nothing on it.
Right.
We've torn down the house. There's no taxes owed. There's no liens on it. And we have sold in the city's land bank just to dispose of the properties that we had when we had our county land bank. We had 30 properties. Well, I think we're down below 10 now. We've sold off almost all of those parcels. And most of those parcels have gone for less than $1,000.
Really?
A lot of people want to buy it because it's beside where they live. Maybe they want to put a garage on it, a garden on it. They want to expand their yard. We call it the side lot program. I don't know that any of those parcels have had new homes built on them as of yet. But the county land bank and the old city land bank, it really wasn't up to us whether you built a new house on that parcel.
Okay.
So as far as what your question is, the county land bank is moving in that direction, but very, very slowly. This is all new territory to our county land bank. We have in the city what we call a receivership program.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another way to deal with homes that are a problem in neighborhoods.
Okay.
But it is a long, drawn-out process. But we're dealing with this company out of Columbus who takes a look at a house, does an evaluation on it, and then they take it to the local courts, and then the courts can grant receivership to this company to fix up the house. And when they're done with their renovation, they'll put it on the market and sell it.
Okay.
So we're working a couple of different angles,
right,
to be honest with
right.
you. But we don't really have a program that does what you're asking fine-tuned yet. And I'm hoping that we will work towards that here in the future with the county land bank, because that's what county land banks were designed to do,
right,
to handle those kinds of issues.
Right. It seems like, you know, home ownership, it is a big part of the solution as far as some of the houses that need to be torn down. And then you have people that work, they may not make a lot of money, but they would like to be homeowners. And do we have any type of programs out there that help walk a person through becoming a homeowner?
You know, the city government really does not get involved in anything like that. You
okay.
know, that would be more of a county land bank. As I said, we haven't really fine-tuned a program
okay.
like that.
Okay.
But that's not something typically that the city government has done.
Mm-hmm.
It is difficult. It's a lot of responsibility to be a homeowner. You have to pay your taxes. You have to pay your city sewer bills. You have to mow. You have to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be prepared to take on the responsibility of home ownership. Mm-hmm. And I don't just mean mentally and physically prepared, but I mean financially prepared to take on that responsibility, because it is a mighty responsibility. Now, I know Habitat for Humanity is a program in the community that does things like that.
Right.
And but they don't... If I told you they build three houses a year, I don't know how accurate that is. But they're in the process of building three of them right now that I'm aware of. Maybe one's already built and occupied, so maybe they're only working on two homes right now.
Right.
But they need to get those taken care of before they can move on to the next ones.
But they've gotten so expensive
over
the years.
And,
that's
the whole thing with housing. It's not cheap, and you have to have the financial resources.
That's true.
You got to pay your property tax. You got to pay your utility bills. You got to maintenance and upkeep. If you're a homeowner and you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. It's a challenge.
Well, it sounds like you're up for the fight. Who are you fighting against for re-election?
Well, if you don't know, that's a good thing, because I learned very early in my political career that you never talk about your opponents. You only talk about yourself, who you are, what you do, what you've done, what you want to do in the future. That's what's important in this campaign is what I've done about me. I've got the energy to do the job. I've got the enthusiasm to want to do the job, and I've got the experience to do the job for you.
Yes, you do. You do have the experience. Boy, you can go. You can go, Mayor. We're proud of you.
Well, thank you.
We're proud to have you as our mayor. And what this would be your second term, third?
This will be the fourth term.
Fourth term.
So,
okay.
Yep. The previous mayor before me served four terms. And
seemed like he was mayor forever.
Well, yeah, I get that a lot too. Jack was a great mayor.
Things.
Yeah,
yes,
Jack was a good mentor. I was on city council for 9 years when he was mayor, and when he decided not to run for re-election, I thought, this is something that I'd really like to do this.
Wow.
And I have been very fortunate. So thank you to my family, because we talked about my family I think being a husband and a father definitely makes me a better public official. There's no doubt in my mind it has made me a better public official. It's the voters of Marion that returned me to this office, and I'm hopeful that on November the 5th that they will do it again. Early voting has begun, so you can vote early at the Board of Elections during their business hours. I would hate to say what their business hours are, because I might get it wrong, but during business hours, and I know that they have some Saturday hours, but I think you can log on the Marion County Board of Elections and find out what hours they're open for early voting. In fact, I walked across the street today in the county building and I cast my vote, so I'm done. I don't have to worry about going to the polls on November the 5th. Done voted. So.
Okay. I usually early vote too.
Yep. I think a lot more people are starting to do that.
Yeah.
It's been a lot more convenient with early voting. You can do it on your time.
Right.
And not have to, have that one day where like, oh my gosh, I got to rush around. I got to do this. I got to do that. And I got to make it to the polls before they close.
Right.
And then a lot of people, they just simply don't make it.
They love it. Yeah. Some don't make it.
You're right. And some do love voting on election day. I get that. I do.
Yeah, they like the lines. They like to stand in line and talk to everybody. And, it's a ritual for some people,
Well, and I think the nice thing about Marion County is I don't think there's a long lines to vote. I mean, I know when I went to the polls, I never had to wait in line for very long.
It'd be nice if that ever was to happen.
That
right?
means more people are voting. So, yes.
Being a part of the process. And we do want more people to vote.
Absolutely.
We really do. Because from what I'm hearing, like 100 votes here and under 100 there, we want people to exercise their right to vote. And we would like to hear your voice, but Mayor Scott Schercher is up for his fourth term, and he's been mayor. He came in during hard times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a, you know, 2007, by 2008, we were in the throngs of the worst economic recession of the 21st century. It was almost like nobody saw it coming. I'm sure somebody did, but you know,
we did.
Yeah, the average person did not.
Right.
And it was a long, drawn out recession. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
And we started to come out of that recession about 4 years ago. And that's when we finally, you can tell when we did the when we were doing the city budgets during the recession time. Mm-hmm. In the mayor's conference room, there's an old chalkboard. And I'm a former teacher, so I'd get out the chalkboard and I'd use my chalk, you know, and figure out the budget. And I'd have the department heads all sitting around, and then we'd whittle away at what we needed to do and balance the budget and take it before council and get it passed. The past few years, it's been a lot easier to do that since the unemployment is so low and we're finally out of the recession now.
And yay, and that came from that trickle-down economics, right?
Well, I don't know where it came from, but it's not. The recession's gone.
Right, amen. It took it long enough.
Yep.
Well, thank you,
thank
Scott
you.
Churchill, for being on our show today.
Yep,
thank
appreciate
you
it.
So much. We're looking forward to you being mayor again for
thank
another
you.
4 years. Right, yay. Thank you, panel, for being here. You didn't have many questions, but...
You might want to be a preacher, too, boy. You can talk about that.
You're weird. Listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary First Lady of Broadcasting in Marion, Madge Cooper.
If you have a new announcer and he's not from this area, you make sure that before he went on the air the first time, you said, it is not Bucky Russ.
Then got back into radio, and now I'm doing some syndicated shows for Ducks Unlimited and for the Toyota Motor Company.
You got a commercial in there, and you weren't authorized.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Madge, we got the first little portable recorders. Remember those? And I still got mine.
Madge used to put hers in front of the microphone to play it.
Yes. Yes.
You brought it back from New York, didn't you?
I need a mic.
There you go.
Sometimes they worked and sometimes they didn't. And I got that trip to New York interviewing a Paris designer. And they said, well, you know, you can't work this anywhere up here. You have to go down to the basement where there is DC current. So I took Pauline Trigier. I took Pauline Trigier into the basement of this hotel to interview her there. And she is as much an announcer as I am, so I mean a designer. She's probably one of the best designers. She just took to that very well. It worked for that one. Then I did some other ones sometime while I was still there. It didn't work.
Madge Cooper. Madge Guthrie.
You won't be a millionaire, but it's the best job in the world.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at...